Christian network, which is an apostolic platform based in Makurdi, Benue State of Nigeria. The ministry has a network of churches and apostolic centers all over Nigeria and beyond. It has the mandate to strive for the repent of apostolic Christianity. He is committed to see God's kingdom and his righteousness become every believer's number one priority. For this reason, he travels regularly to preach, teach, pray, and prophesy at conferences and gospel crusades across the nations of the world. At such gatherings, God sends great help in revelation, inspiration, illumination, signs, miracles, and prophetic rituals to confirm his word in the mouth of his servant. He is married to Diana and blessed with Joshua and Esther. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together as you make welcome to be a blessing to God's people, Apostle Arome Osai.
Pastor, thank you for having me. It's a privilege to be here. And once again, I have the rare privilege of ministering before the evangelist. They labored and gave us the platform. And whenever the patriarchs of the land are available, the privilege to minister is with fear and trembling. Once again, we appreciate your labors in the name of Jesus. Father, tonight we ask for help and we look beyond ourselves to the hills from whence cometh our help. We ask that you think through our thoughts and speak through my vocal cord and be glorified in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you richly. Seeing the progression of the grace of God that has characterized this conference, we want to take our time tonight to build on the scriptures. So, I'll be teaching today. Probably teaching on a few titles. The first title will be the history of your human spirit. The history of your human spirit. Genesis chapter 1. Please, I want to ask that you stay with me as we build precept upon precept, line upon line. It is to the end that we walk in the glory of God. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, we see the implementation of a project that was concealed in the quadrant of the Godhead. Anytime you see I am in Hebrew, it is plural. Cherubim, plural. Anakim, plural. Emim, plural. Zamzuzim, plural. And Elohim, plural. So the project man was conceived in the conclave of the Elohim. And that's why it is captured, let us make man. We would like to peep into that conclave and to find out the blueprint that God had in mind. What kind of creature did God intend to crystallize? We'll begin our pilgrimage from Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Please stay with me. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. Now, I would like to draw attention to a few things that are in this scripture. First of all, in this enterprise of the making of man, hallelujah, are you with me? It's not the creating of man, it's the making of man. And the making of man has a few processes attached to it. Part of what was attached to the making of man is create. Part of what it entailed was formed. Are you with me? So, but the project was, let us what? Make man. So please stay as we build, and God is going to help us in the name of Jesus. According to the blueprint of this creature that God was about to crystallize, this creature had to be in the image of God. And we need to understand what the image of God is about. Image of God. Pastor, you're a medical doctor, and most of the time when you enter into the theater, you want to perform a surgery, you normally use a glove. And your glove is in the shape of a hand, because the intention of the manufacturer is that that glove will play host to a hand. If you were created in the image of God, you are such that you were designed to have the capacity to contact God. You were designed to have the capacity to contain God. You were designed to have the capacity to manifest God. So every human being was created with this capacity. And that's the reason why, if you begin to speak about God in an atmosphere where an unbeliever is, because he is created to know God, by encountering God, he will begin to sense whether or not he's in tune with God. Just because you are talking about God. Because man cannot be understood outside of his design. He was created in the image of God. He was created after the likeness of God. Are you with me? All right. Please don't forget, the key word in that scripture is make. 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 Let us. What? Make man. So this is when the enterprise was conceived and the blueprint about this creature was defined. He was supposed to be an entity that will walk in the glory of God. And so God, one of the manifestations of his capacity is dominion. And dominion is an attribute of God. It means that this creature was designed to share in some of the dynamics of God. And that's why the reference for this creature is not himself, but the reference for this creature is God. Every other creature was created after his kind. That is to say that even a goat is more original than you, because a goat was created after the image of a goat. But you were not created after the image of man. Your reference is God, not you. Are you still with me? Stay with me. Your reference is God. That means I'm beginning to operate maximally when I operate like God. That's the design. If I operate like a man, it means that I've fallen from my godness. Because at the end of the day, what God got was not exactly what he had in mind. He got a fallen man. He got Adam. Adam, I don't want to trouble you this night. Let's leave it there. He got Adam. And Adam was not the idea that he had in mind before he set out to bring forth this creature. And one thing with God is that God will always get what he wants. Because he will not stop working until he arrives. It's not like you that will try and then get discouraged and say, okay, let's try something. No. When God sets out to accomplish something, he will stay on the job until he gets what he wants. And so when he got Adam, he did not stop the journey there. He continued walking, even though he used 4,400 years to tell numerous stories about what he had in mind and the protocol that he was going to follow in order for him to accomplish his task. Are you with me? 4,400 years of illustration of what was on his mind until John the Baptist began to baptize. And when Jesus now came and went for the baptism, heaven, the alignment of heaven was distorted with the prayer of Jesus. That kind of prayer had not ascended from earth before. It was the alignment of heaven that shook, that made the Holy Ghost to come down to bear witness. Why was there so much accreditation around Jesus when he came out of John the Baptist's baptismal waters? Was because Jesus was the idea of a man that God had in mind when he set out to say, let us make man. Our God will never stop working until he... I know you don't believe me. I know. Please help me tell your neighbor, God will not stop working. Many times you might even stop working. You might even get discouraged. But in your discouragement, God is not incapacitated. His activity is not based on whether you are willing to continue the project. There's something called the sovereignty of God, which goes beyond the capacity of your faith. God will not stop working on the project until his vision finds expression. So the scripture that I just read to us is a scripture that reveals what God had in mind before he set out to crystallize this creature he called man. It will interest you to know. Hallelujah. Should I digress? I think I need to digress because I need to build a robust... Where we are going is very technical. And for 3 days, we will not do signs and wonders. We will be doing Bible study for 3 days. You see, the thing about walking in glory... Walking in glory is tied to the knowledge of glory. You know, the Bible says, and the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The glory is already here. But the extent to which we can explore the glory. And meanwhile, you need to understand. Amen. One of the laws of creation is actually that God creates a being and puts that being in a habitat that supports his life. So he created fish. He put fish in water. That's the habitat that supports his life. If you take fish out of water, it will die. Created plants and allow their roots to go into the soil. And through their xylem vessels, they can draw nutrients, they can draw mineral resources through soil water to the other parts of the plant. Everything God created, he domiciles that thing within a certain context that supports his existence. Guess where God put man? When he finished, yes, he put man, there was a garden that God crystallized, and he put man inside of the garden. That garden was the place that God used to visit, and God doesn't use a visa to come into the place. That Garden of Eden. You know, archaeologists have ransacked the earth looking for Eden and they didn't find it. Because Eden is more than an environment than it is a location.
is actually a part of heaven that manifested on earth. Eden was an embassy. It was a part of heaven that was in another country. And the high commissioner of Eden was Adam. You with me? I know great teachers have stood here, so I know they have built something. I don't want to... I say, are you with me? Okay, let me give you an insight about Eden before we continue this journey. The garden was not all over Eden. The garden was in the east of Eden. The garden was capable of, it was the amalgamation of two realms. The realm of the invisible and the realm of the visible. They met in the garden. And that's why Adam could interface with the invisible realm in the garden. Not everywhere, but in the garden. Meanwhile, you must understand that Adam did not have the life of God. So the relationship that Adam had with God was a one-way relationship. It was only God that could visit Adam. Adam could not visit God. You are not with me. Oh, let me leave you. Don't worry. You see, it is the knowledge of the glory that is lacking. It is not the glory. One of my friend's grandfather went and brought an idol to the compound. The name of the idol we heard. If I mention the name, some of you will know the idol, so we'll not mention it. And then he went to Kano and bought some horses. And because he knows the way of the idol very well, when the idol begins to thirst for blood, he knows what to do so that the spirit can begin to suck the blood of the horse. When it sucks the blood, you begin to see that the horse will start becoming lean and lean until the horse will die. Then the appetite of the spirit will be sated and it will produce prosperity for a long time. And when he's looking for blood again, because he knows the way of the spirit, he presents another until the man died. And when the man died, no one learned the ways. It's not that the spirit left. The spirit was still there, but the knowledge of his ways was lacking. And because of that, when the spirit becomes tasty, then about 7 people will die. Should I say something? It is the knowledge of the glory that is lacking. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right. So, see, God could visit Adam. Adam could not visit God. Listen to me. We need to solve a theological problem now before we continue this matter. Because it's very good for us, ministers of the gospel in the territory, to be meeting somewhere like this every year. It will enhance cross-pollination. Because I'm seeing very powerful teachers of faith here. I'm seeing holiness preachers. So we need to agree on something. Basic doctrine. Amen. Since we are talking about man, we need to define man. What is your definition of man? I know most of our faith brothers will say man is a spirit. He possesses a soul. And he dwells in a body. As convenient as it is to subscribe to that theology, it is not biblical. You know, we are young ministers. It is good for us to know the truth of the word of God. You can't prove that from the Bible, that man is a spirit. I can prove from John chapter 4 that God is spirit. I can prove from Hebrews chapter 1 that angels are spirits.
The Bible says that man has a spirit. The Bible never says that man is spirit. I know you don't believe me. That's why this kind of a conference is good. We come out and then we sit and cross-pollinate. Maybe I might pick one thing, you might pick one thing. And remember, what is lacking is the knowledge of the glory. Now, give me Luke chapter 24, verse 39. Let's solve a problem quickly before we advance. If not, there is a likelihood that a little gap in our theology will rob us of the entry point into the weight of glory. This is Jesus speaking. If your Bible is a red letter Bible, in the book of Luke chapter 24, you'll find it is red. So this is Jesus speaking. And this is when Jesus decided to appear to his disciples. Peter was intending to go back to his former business before he met Jesus. And this was an attempt at rescuing an apostle. When this is Jesus with his resurrected body. And Jesus, with his resurrected body, says, "Behold my hands and my feet." The reason why I can behold you is because you occupy space. He said, "Handle me and see." The reason why I can handle you is because you possess matter. You see, this realm is not for spirits. This realm is for three-dimensional beings that occupy space, that have matter and function within the framework of time. Jesus said, "Handle me and see, for a spirit had not flesh and bones as he see me have." So please, conduct an investigation on your neighbor. If you find flesh, tell your neighbor you are not a spirit. Not a spirit. Just in case there's a hard thing there, it's called bone. Spirits don't have bones. And this is Jesus coming to the rescue to recalibrate us and to show us how that spirits do not have flesh. You are not. It is convenient. What is convenient may not necessarily be biblical. You want me to go on other scriptures? There are still other scriptures that we can consult on this subject. But the Bible reveals, hallelujah, don't believe me, just believe the Bible. I know you are shocked, but we came here to study glory. That's the purpose of our coming. Now, having understood that, you might ask, what is man? Man is spirit, soul, and body. According to the book of 1 Thessalonians, we check chapter 4, the Bible says that God intends to sanctify us wholly. Then he said spirit, soul, and body. What he means by holy is spirit, soul, and body. If I take you to the book of Romans, I can show you some scriptures where Paul said, "In me," that is in my flesh. He was referring to his body. I can show you 1 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 24, when Paul said, "I beat my body," and the "I" there was his will, which is his soul. I can show you scriptures where Paul said "I," said "me." The "me" there was his spirit. The "I" there was his soul. The "me" there was his body. Don't have time to push that. Are you still with me? Because I know the mood of a meeting can change when something is punctured. But that's why we came for Doxa Conference. Some things need to be punctured so that we can have the knowledge of his glory. Now, why did I feel it was important to puncture what you believe? The reason is because man is the only creature that has the legitimacy through his spirit to operate in the spirit realm and through his body to operate in the natural realm. Only man, no other creature in the entire creation of God has that capacity. Even God himself has decided to limit himself to the spirit realm because the Bible says God is spirit. It therefore means that if God operates in the natural without the permission of man, he has trespassed. Now, the royal decree, okay, you don't believe. Psalm 115 verse 16, you see the royal decree. 115 verse 16, please help me.
Help me, please, technical man, so that I can run. One.
Okay, no problem. Let's do. Stay with me.
Now, this is Psalm 115, verse 16. The Bible says, the heaven, even the heavens. This is the only scripture, apart from the book of Matthew, that recognizes the structure of the heavenly layers. Because when Paul says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that someone was caught up into the third heaven, one of the scriptures that can justify what he's trying to say, the book of Psalms. And so when we say the heaven, even the third heaven, the heaven of heavens, it's actually referring to the third heavens. He said that is where God is domiciled. The heaven of heavens, or the third heavens, is where God is domiciled. And the Bible says, and the earth has he given unto the sons of men. This is a royal decree. If God had said that he had given men the earth, if after saying that, if God comes into the earth without man's permission, that is trespass, violation. You with me? Because the Bible says that God has exalted his word above his name. That is to say that God himself, when God speaks, his words become law and he himself becomes subject to it. So if God now says that the earth belongs to the sons of men, it means he will be in violation if he tries to intervene without man's allowance. Are you there? Do you still remember the book of Genesis chapter 6? When there was a violation, I don't want to go into the details. And because of that violation, God came and said that my spirit will not strive with man forever, seeing that he is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. The word days there in the Hebrew is jubilee. 120 jubilee. He's talking about the time, the season under which man is given charge of the earth. 120 jubilee is 6,000 years. 120 times 50. 120 times 50. Oh, you're not with me. You're not with me. So, let's not worry. Let's go back. You are not following. God said, I've given man 120 jubilees. That's the time of his dominion. After 120 jubilees are accomplished, God can now intervene in the earth without man's permission. That's what prophecy calls the day of the Lord. Do you understand that? Are you following me? Okay, for your information, from the time of Adam to Moses was 2,000. Moses to Abraham, 2,000. Abraham, no. Adam to Abraham, 2,000. Abraham to Jesus, 2,000. Jesus till now, 2,000. That's why this time is called end time. Are we there? He said, man will have dominion for 120 jubilees. Are you still with me? Can we? Are you following?
Yes, sir.
Now, so just to strengthen the position of the fact that God, by royal decree, gave you entitlement to the earth. And in view of that, the legitimate access that God has into the earth realm now, on the account of this royal decree, is priesthood. When you begin to pray, what prayer is earthly permission for heavenly interference. It makes it legitimate for God to bring his superpower upon the scene. Are you with me? So without you creating the permission, God has the ability, but it will be trespass for him to come into your domain without you creating earthly permission for heavenly interference. The reason why man was created triune or tripartite is because with your spirit, you have legitimacy to operate in the spirit realm. With your body, you have legitimacy to operate in the natural realm. Is that clear? Having understood that, you know, I said I wanted to give us a little insight into the history of your human spirit. And the reason why I need to exhort the human spirit is that the human spirit is the garment that God will wear so that he can participate in this creation. If you check the book of Genesis chapter 1, you will see God as a spectator, as an engineer and an observer. He will go to work, he will finish construction, and then he will stand back and look at what he had said, look at what he had created, check his alignment, check his symmetry, check how to support the next phase of his creation, and then he gives it a pass mark. There is a measuring unit that God uses to measure items of creation, and that unit is called good. When God comes back, we look at what he has created, then he will see if it fits that unit, and he say it was good. Hallelujah. Second day again, he will come. He will create. He will look back and say, what? It was. And for your information, the only time he looked back and it was not good was when man was alone. But let me stop there. Hallelujah. It was only when man was alone. It's not good. Just like when I got posted from here to Lagos and my wife was in Makurdi, God will look from her. This arrangement. it's not good. May the Lord give you understanding. So in the book of Genesis, we see God operating apart from his creation. He will go back and judge what he has made. But you see, in the New Testament, God is now wants to be seen in his creation. Because he created man so that he will have a vessel. He wanted to be factored in the visible creation. So your spirit being is a garment that God intends to wear. He wants to possess your spirit so that your body will be the one carrying him out about in this frame of reference. And so God will be part of what is happening here because he wears your spirit. Exactly. But unfortunately, when God set out to create, he said, let us make man. And when he now decided to begin the creation work, and you must understand that every member of the Godhead was in that council when the objective of making man was agreed upon. It means that every member of the Godhead will have a part to play in the making of man. So it was the Father that started. And so God created man. You see, the vision is make, but the first part of make was create. And it was the Father that did the making. And the word create is bara, which means to bring into existence without any raw material. That means that aspect of man that the Father was involved with, he came out of God. How do I know this? In creation, every aspect of everything goes back to where it came from. So if the body came from the dust, the body will go to the dust. And the Bible said that the spirit will go back to God from whence it came. So it was from the Father that the spirit immaterial aspect found expression. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. I don't have time to do all the reading because I want us to go far. Let us travel. Let's speak like sons in the kingdom of God. In the book of Genesis chapter 5, 2, verse 5 to 7, we now see a member of the Godhead because the Bible says, and the Lord God. Oh, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth and every herb before it had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth and there was no man to till the ground. The Lord God. It means there was a member of the Godhead that decided to step out of the quadrant of the Godhead to do an act of modeling. And that personality called the Lord God is Jehovah Elohim, and that was the pre-incarnate name of Christ, Jesus. That was his Old Testament name, identity. It was him that stepped out of the quadrant of the Godhead to do the work of modeling that resulted in the body of man. He did not do it under supervision. So it was Jesus that determined that you will have one head and two hands. If he had determined that you have two heads, nobody would have questioned him. How you look today was Jesus' modeling idea. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Are you with me? That's too much. Because there are so many things that God regulates by his breath. Have you studied your Bible? The Bible says that it was a blast of God's nostrils that was used to part the Red Sea. Just a blast. Meanwhile, Moses in the natural had to achieve alignment with the structure of things in the supernatural. The instruction of the Holy Ghost was that he should stretch forth his rod. And the moment his rod was stretched forth, God found the balance that was needed for him to sneeze. And when he sneezed, the effect was that the Red Sea parted. It was still the breath of God, are you here, that was released into man's nostrils. And what was the reason? Man became, don't forget what he became, living soul. The proof of life is consciousness. And the aspect of man that was conscious was his soul at this time. You hear? Oh, I say, are you here? Even though man had a spirit part, the consciousness that man had at the time that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life was the consciousness that resided in his soul. Most of the decisions that he took around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that suggested to him that it was an option that was better to take were solely. He could relate intelligibly with his environment. And he was doing this on the resources of the breath of life. The first point in the history of your spirit was when God created your spirit and God developed a container that could trap your spirit. I hope you know that's what a shrine is. It's an earthly arrangement that can trap a spiritual thing. You're not. Okay, let's leave. I know you don't like that word. Okay, let's do temple. Let's say maybe temple. Temple will. Temple. You are not aware that it takes a high technology in the spirit to trap spirit dimensions. That's why you trivialize the fact that a spirit being could be trapped in an earthly vessel. It's not a common occurrence. Okay. Let me enlighten you. 1 Kings chapter 6. Even though... Don't worry. Don't go there. I just want to enlighten you, to challenge you. The idea of the construction of the temple. No, that will confuse you. Let's look. God breathed into the nostrils of a dead form on earth. Huh? And in that breath, he released his human spirit. And that was what gave life. And the moment that human spirit comes out of that being, this one will die. I want you to imagine the one doing this, coupling these two on similar material. And he breathed into his nostrils, not divine life, the breath of life. Suddenly, something that was taken from dust, capillaries, veins, nerve endings, built into that thing. I like to imagine And then the being stood up from the ground and became conscious. And said, okay, this is banana. This is orange. And he could even identify woman. Say, it's woman. Are you with me? Became a living soul. So, the first aspect of the history of your human spirit is when your human spirit came from God and was trapped in an earthly tabernacle. Are you with me? God was not in your human spirit yet. It's just the spirit alone was carved out of God. And through a technology of God, he was able to trap that spirit within the encasement of a body. And that being was intelligent enough and conscious in his soul. It means the seat of intelligence, the seat of his sovereign will, the seat of his emotion was active on the resource called the breath of life. Second aspect of the history of your human spirit was man's rebellion. Because God gave him education. He told him that he can eat of every tree that is in the garden. But in the day that he eats of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, he will surely die. In fact, in the Hebrew, it reads, in dying, you shall die. Now, the Hebrew perspective is a bit different from the English perspective, because the Hebrew perspective sees death as a gradual process that will explore this creation. Right? Now, the English version makes us feel that death will happen upon him suddenly. But the Hebrew version reveals death as a process. In fact, the Hebrews do not consider death to be the cessation of life. It's actually separation from God. In any form that man is living, that he is separated from God, he is in a state of death. If you study that creature as his 14 years, 21 years, you'll be seeing several shapes of death within that specimen. Yeah, as long as he is separated from God, because he was created in the image and in the likeness of God, and now he's operating, he's malfunctioning because he's not in the context of the design. But because he's been given something from God, which is the breath of life, that breath of life gives power to his soul. And he can live from the strength of the civilization that soulish power can provide. That breath of life is actually what we call human life. And human life powers man's soul. So every time you talk about human life, know that the roots of human life is in the soul of man. Because when you breathe into him, the breath of life, man became living soul. When man decided to rebel against God, he used his soul to make that decision. And he decided to discard God's counsel to him. Embedded in God's counsel is the position of the justice system of heaven, which is something that Adam never knew about. And the justice system of heaven is so serious that whether you know there is such a justice system or not, you are subject to it. Can I do a refresher course quickly? Maybe in the book of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Let's do a refresher course and see the justice system of heaven. That was what God was trying to introduce to Adam. That whether you like it or not, you have a reference. Just like whether an unbeliever likes it or not, he is a victim of the justice system of heaven. He said, if you have not accepted the Son, you are condemned already. Meanwhile, he doesn't accept God, though, but you see, he cannot escape the ruling of the justice system of heaven. Who is there with me? Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. 4, verse 8. And Cain, please stay with me. Stay with me. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Next verse, please. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Next verse. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. Next verse. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood out of thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. If you have looked at this scripture critically, you will find that it's a cut session. This is a cut session that I just read out. This guy went and killed his brother. Right? According to what we call the Witness Act of the Nigerian Constitution, there are two kinds of witnesses that the Nigerian Constitution under the Witness Act recognizes. First witness is the expert witness. The expert witness is like the testimony of a doctor that's a consultant in internal medicine. And he gives an autopsy report about the circumstances under which someone dies. It can affect the pendulum of justice. Expert witness. Second type of witness that the Witness Act recognizes is the eyewitness. And the eyewitness has to be in the environment of the act. And he brings the testimony to court. It can also influence the pendulum of justice. And it happens to be that in this case, there was no expert witness and there was no eyewitness. So when Cain was brought before the court, if you have ever been to court, there is something called cross-examination. Cross-examination is to test a particular person in the dock to see whether there's any substance to his argument. And if you want to be a litigator, you must understand all the many ways of roping someone with questions. For example, a lawyer may come and say, how did you commit the fornication? What it means is that you have accepted that you committed. We have gone beyond your accepting that you committed the fornication. We are now trying to find how. May the Lord give you understanding. God decided to subject Cain to cross-examination. The first question he asked is, where is Abel, your brother? Unfortunately for this man, he never knew that he was before the court of heaven. And the writ of summons that brought him to court were sent by mortals. Didn't know that. He thought it was the Witness Act of the Nigerian Constitution. And when he looked left and looked right, there was no eyewitness, no expert witness. He said, am I my brother's keeper? I never knew when they now gave me custody of my brother. In order to clear... Are you with me? Okay. This constitution that was used to judge him, even though it is a rebel, it's a rolling stone. He was trying to say, what's happening? But with all of his rebellion, the law of that justice system was still applicable to his life. Are you with me? Oh, you're not with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Now, so God now said, okay, in order to clear your doubts, let us check your case file. Because your case file contains the prayer of, I've forgotten that word. There's a technical word used in this. So forgive me if you're a barrister. Forgive me. I'm not a barrister. I'm in fact a scientist. So, the prayer of, I've forgotten the word. The one that brought the case to court. Of the accused. Was documented in the case file. So God had to bring the case file to clear Cain's doubt. That court of competent jurisdiction was not heavily laden in the kind of ignorance he thought the court had. So they brought the case file. And the content of the case file was that
The voice of thy brother's blood is crying from the ground that received the blood out of your hand. That means, according to this constitution, the constitution that is using to judge this young man, even blood too is capable of standing as witness. But he was ignorant of that. Was ignorant. So it was the testimony of blood that was the content of the case file. And when he was confronted with that, do you see that in the court of the immortals, he was not allowed to speak again? And then the next thing you see, there's the judgment. He said, thou art cursed from there. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond. That means he's a Fulani man. There is no territory that is suited to support his destiny. He will be wandering, and so shall it be in Nigeria. If you know, you know. If you know, you know. God has already...
Amen.
The Lord give you understanding. So God was trying to introduce Adam to the justice system of heaven. That whether or not he was a rebel or he wanted to be in alignment, that legal position was binding on his life. You see, in the day that you eat of this fruit, the position of the justice system will be that you shall surely die. So Adam eventually ate it. The resources from whence he considered the fruit to be beneficial was from his soul. It means that the perspective that his soul had, apart from the witness that came from the Spirit of God, they were different. They were divergent. It was on the civilization of that perspective that he decided to go the way of rebellion. Meanwhile, what God was offering him was for him to be involved in his lines of development. And his choice of the knowledge of good and evil as the basis of his development pitched him against God. It was an orientation. It was a situation that put him in a condition where he was therefore, even though he became a living soul, because of his rebellion, he was going to live by the soul. And that arrangement made his spirit to die. The second aspect of the history of your spirit is that your spirit died in the rebellion of Adam. So even though by the breath of life, you became a living soul, by the rebellion of participating in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your spirit was sentenced to death. It means your life will no longer derive from your spirit, your life will derive from the partnership of your fallen soul and your mutated body. And that is the status of a fallen man. And the Bible calls that arrangement Adam. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Then, John chapter 14. The third aspect of the history of your human spirit. John 14, 15 to 17. John 14:15-17. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Next verse. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Yes, this is my emphasis. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The reason why the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth, according to Jesus, is because the world does not see the Spirit of truth. Neither does the world know the Spirit of truth. But Jesus said, you know the Spirit of truth because, number one, he dwelleth with you and shall dwell in you. So there are two levels there. Two levels.
In order for us to know the way of the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Truth had to dwell with us. And the dwelling of the Spirit of Truth with us was the incarnation. When Jesus walked this world and walked with the apostles, he was dwelling with them. He was dwelling with humankind and educating us about the perspectives of the Spirit of Truth. Oh, you are not here. Okay. God had two options of what to do after man fell. The first option is to take one of us to heaven and educate that person and bring the person back, or to take somebody from heaven and bring the person to earth. Because we have, Adam was the first man. His mutation was the loss of our blueprint. So instead of taking one of us to heaven to teach us and restore the person, what God did was that he brought someone from heaven, even Jesus, to come and teach us. So we must understand that the lectures, the life and times of Jesus, were lectures to show us how man should operate. For instance, you hear Jesus say in the book of Luke chapter 18 verse 1, those are design scriptures, scriptures that reveal our design. He said, and he spake a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's your design. You were designed as a creature of prayer. In case you are operating in another way, you are not operating according to... He knows, you see, you have so much potential that you can even be operating in error, but you think you are doing something. You can be... May the Lord give you understanding. There were many scriptures through which Jesus spoke and spoke about the design. He said, you are a creature of prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. In the eyes of Jesus, there is nothing like prayerless. Because you are either praying or you are fainting. The opposite of prayerful is fainting. May you not be a fainting man, a fainting woman. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Someone can win an election and go to government house and faint. Circumstances and situations can bedevil him and he faints. Meanwhile, the design for men is that men ought always and not to. This is Jesus dwelling with us, showing us, recalibrating us and showing us how man was designed to function. Are you with me? Now, secondly, do you still remember the book of Matthew chapter 4? In the book of Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. First of all, Jesus arrived at the temptation arena before the tempter. And then decided, without instruction, decided by himself to start a fasting exercise. Because the Holy Ghost didn't lead him there to fast. He only led him to the arena of temptation. You're not with me. The fasting component was a personal, it was a deliberate decision. So he arrived temptation arena before the tempter and adopted a fasting model. What is fasting? Okay. Let me leave you. Then eventually the tempter now showed. And of all the questions, of all the kinds of temptations that Satan could bring, Satan's temptation was with reference to what happened at the Jordan. Because Jordan was accreditation. They didn't know who the Son of Man was. Heaven came to accredit him. This is my beloved Son in whom I work. Then Satan said, I'm hearing you saying Son of God, Son of God, Son of God. Where I'm coming from, we don't know that title. But if you are the Son of God, so that we can acknowledge, because we don't recognize such a title. Command these stones, make them bread. What was Jesus' response? He began to speak about man, about the design. According, are you with me? According to the design, he says man was designed not to live. I know you are reading it wrongly. He said, live by bread, oh. Honor, take honor. But. But not by bread
Unfortunately, it's only by Ona people live now. Not by bread anymore. Man was designed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Stop there. Based on that, if I check you and I visit you and you don't have a diary where you document what God has said about you, because that's supposed to be a story of your life. If you don't have a documentation of what God has said about you, how are you living? You went to UniAgric to read engineering. Who sent you there? Okay, I'm making you depressed. These are the two simple ones. So these ones that we were designed as creatures of prayer, creatures of priesthood, because we must provide earthly permission for heavenly interference every day so that God will have the permission to intervene. Are there demons speaking in your family? And they have been speaking for 27 years. In the eyes of God, there is no man there. Because if a man arrives, he's a creature of prayer. Then he will provide earthly permission for what? Heavenly interference. Now, please, don't be too proud. Is there a man in your family? We are not talking about a churchgoer, a man. Man. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Is there a man there? You know, when people come to you for counseling, they want to make you understand the customized dimension of demonic manifestation in their family, because there is no man. So the only marvel that a fallen man can see is Satan. But when a man comes up, the marvel that true men see is the splendor of God. That is the way of glory. The dimensions of God are full of splendor. So through prayer, he is brought into realms where he's shown great and mighty things that he does not know. He said, "Call unto me, I will answer you." Why do you pray? Is it not to be answered? But you are praying for answers. But God wants you to pray. He said, "I will answer you." But the reason why I want you to pray is because I want to show you something. So you are praying for answers. God is calling you to pray so that he can show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Because there's a desperate need to upgrade your ignorance. That's the way of men. Is there a man there? Is there a man there? If there's a man there, then there will be earthly permission for heavenly interference. Second question, is there a man there? If there is a man there, then he is documenting the proceeding words that come out of the mouth of God, because that is how he lives. Only a madman, will labor in the oil industry, and when he is to pass into management level, he resigns. Why? I was going to Lokoja for a crusade. Fasted for 3 days in Benue Hotel. Jesus didn't say anything. I was depressed, came out with my bag. Okay. Let's go. When we get there, at least I tried. On the road, he entered into the car. And he said, "When will your passport expire?" I said, 28th of September, 2020. He said, "Your job has expired that day." I said, "What?" I bind him. He said, Your job. "Your job has expired." It was 2 weeks for me to write the exam that will qualify me to be a management staff. And I don't fail exams. And that's not boasting. I don't fail. May the Lord give you understanding. What is a resign? I went for the meeting. I was under the anointing. And then he shouted, "Resign!" Man shall not live by bread alone. But 5 days later, I took it. And when they began to call everybody to Nikon, because that's the place he will stay for 2 weeks and write the exam, my seat was empty. Then my colleagues on my level,
gathered together because all of them started calling me. The ones that were not close to me, I didn't answer them. But I didn't know that it was on loudspeaker. And then one of my friends now called me and said, "Where are you, Pastor? The whole clan is here. You are the only one missing." I said, "You are not aware. I resigned 5 days ago." You know their conclusion? That they have the masquerade from the village is at work. You see, is there a man there? If there's a man there, you will know how to dance to the music of the proceeding world. We have competition, window shopping in ministry. You go here and say, "Okay, this is how they do it." You are not a man. Because when men show up, we will know the perspective of the proceeding world of God. And the proceeding world is what will dictate your life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now, men and brethren, we are in a class now. What is the word of God you received about Makodi? I can tell you my own. On the 20th day of October 2002, in the city of Kano, I had an encounter and two angels came to my room. I'm not talking of a vision. I've seen Jesus five times. Come. So I can tell you, I know visions. If we begin to worship now, I'm likely to see Jesus in my vision. Two angels came to my room. And they came with a scroll and began to read. I can never forget the face of the slim angel. He was in the sanctuary when God began to utter things about my destiny. And he was sent to come and read it out to me. He brought a scroll. An angel with a slim face. When you look, you can't even look upon him. Because when you try to look upon him, you will become tall. Then when you remove your eyes and you're looking at him from here, he will become your height. It was in that encounter that this woman here, that I heard her name, that this one was my wife. No. Stop this. I'm not trying to exhort her. No. The script I began to live out when I engaged her and we married was a script that was already written. Because men don't create anything. You are not here to be creative. You are here to yield to scripts, to parchments that have already been documented in eternity. It was in that place, in my room, that God spoke and told me that you will not go into full-time ministry yet. I will give you a job. It was in that place that God told me that your place of primary assignment will be Makodi. I will hide you in Makodi from the corruption. Meanwhile, my preference was just because I sweat too much. See, you have not sweated. But me, I sweat from morning till night. So that if I'm in the cold in just, I can worship. He say, "You, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, please, understand. We are brethren. I'm sharing these encounters not to make you think I'm spiritual. God knows my heart. I went to preach in New York, and when I entered into the place, they were welcoming me. And you know, there are some kind of welcome that as they are welcoming you, just be saying to Jesus, "It is you I serve. It is you I serve. I'm not the one." Be doing it quickly, quickly. There's some honor men will give you. If you are not matured, Jesus will be offended. So as they were healing me, I said, "Jesus, you know, it is not in question. You are the one they heal. I was telling him." That was how I entered into the hotel room and Jesus came. He said, I've come to set you free. That was the first time he started telling me about my job. That you are going to leave. But he spoke in parable. I've come to set you free so that where I am, there also will my servant be. I say, amen. I didn't know Jesus was saying, I'm on the field now. You know, it wasn't clear, so I can't claim to know anything to obey there. Let me tell you another one. Finished preaching and in the month of December, my brother-in-law called me. They were the ones in power then. Say, Pastor, I've been seeing you preaching. Come and go and rest. So I took permission from the office and he gave me tickets to Dubai. I went to Dubai in a place called Deira Sabka. The hotel was Rehab Hotel. I don't know the room. The number has escaped. And I came, I landed there by 2 a.m. I was hungry to death. And I went to the restaurant. I said, do you have food? He said, we have lots of food here. I said, oh my God. Then they brought the menu. It was in Indian language. So I now picked one by... And when they brought it, it was green. Because I was hungry, I didn't mind. When I ate it, it tasted like Royco. I vomited it. I said, what is this? It's an English, an Indian man trying to speak English. He said, this drug, that means this is drug. It's everything, there's calcium, there's potassium, there's everything. It's drug. I said, no, I don't want drug. I want food, not drug. They don't have any other one. It was when I entered the room by 3 a.m. that I knew that God did not want me to eat. Because as I entered, Jesus walked through the wall. He said, the youth, use the power of sight I've given you to deliver them from destruction, and I will open the gates of the nations to you. And he walked. It was 9 seconds. The glory was so intense that hunger that took me to the kitchen, it didn't come up again until the fourth day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That encounter was in 2009. Are you with me? Follow me. 2009. The one I told you about, Oyo, was 2019. That's how many years? God was telling me that He's on the field. I did not connect it with the last encounter because he said, use your power of sight to deliver them from destruction. Then I will open the gates of the nations to you. So if I'm faithful in youth ministry, then he will open international ministry to me. I went around the campuses in this country. I went around Nigeria 6 times. I know you won't believe that. My air ticket per year was 2.3 million. From 1.8 to 2.3 million every year. I went to Sokoto. I went to Kebbi. I went every campuses with fire. For salvation. For deliverance. And to establish people in the faith. I did that 6 times. And on August 16, 2019, Jesus came back. Oh my God. I didn't know he was announcing to me that for these 10 years that you have been running in youth ministry, it's time for me to open nations to you. That is why you are going to resign. No, I didn't get until that day when I was going to Lokoja from Benue Hotel, 3 days. And that was 1 year later. I didn't understand what he told me in Uyo until another 1 year. He now showed up again. This time it was clear. Your job expires on the 28th of September. On the 5th of October, I submitted. When I submitted, you know that kind of joy I felt when I gave my life to Christ? That was the same joy that hit my heart. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. In the place of prayer, he came. He said, the United Kingdom. He said, Ghana. He said, South Africa. He said, your ministry
we redefine ministry in these nations. Meanwhile, I didn't know anybody, any of these places. After that encounter, 4 weeks later, Ghana opened. So I went to Ghana, to Kumasi. Did a teaching for 2 days. And then released the Holy Ghost for one night. The demons and the manifestation were terrible. University of Ghana. When I came to the University of Ghana, I was dressing like this. And their own ministers wear suit. So they were wondering. And you know, I become anointed when people despise me. When we took the scriptures in the University of Ghana, it was as if we were speaking another language. You know why? I was living his spoken word, and his hand was present to confirm every mission. The third time, it was not an invitation again. We went to a 4,000 seater hall in Ghana. Right? The charge for the hall for one night is 1.3 million. And our pastor in Ghana got it for 4 nights. He's a man of faith. He doesn't believe anything is impossible. So when I go to Ghana, I say, "Pastor, come. How are you paying for that hall?" He said, "No, we are owing, but God is God." I say, "Pastor, come. I'm old in this thing, come. How are you going to pay?" He said, "Jesus is, we believe." I went back to God. I said, "God, you know, I was doing well in Makurdi, in Wewe. You say I should come to the nation." Because I challenged him with the very words he spoke to me. He said, "Okay, when you go to the pulpit, take your own offering. And tell the people we have a need. Sow your offering and sit down. Don't say anything more than that." That's how people began to give. And give. And give. And give. The giving was a miracle. And I didn't say, "You that we give 10,000. You that we give 1 million. I just left it. And God walked on the hearts of men. You know why? Because it was his spoken word. The hand of God came mightily in a way that I've never seen. Because I finished praying for the sick as I normally do. And then the pastor said, "We arrange all the cripples at the back home." In my own mind, I had finished ministry. He said, "The cripple." So I now ask him, "Should I go there?" He said, "That's why we arrange them." The longest distance in a long while is the distance from the pulpit to that place. It became long. Because I didn't feel that God was going with me. You know how you feel the anointing? I didn't feel it. I touched the first crippled woman. I said, "Why are you crippled?" He said, so thing happened, so thing. Then I began to speak in tongues and laid hands on her. Then she shouted, "Ha!" Shouted. I raised her up. She began to walk. I said, "Hey, no. She began to walk. I was bold. I went to the second one. That one was on a stretcher. I said, "Why are you here?" She gave a story too. I prayed for her. Nothing happened. I left her there. Went to the third one. But before I got to the third one, this stretcher woman stood up. Yeah? Went to the third one. Said, "Why are you here?" She spoke to me, prayed for her. She began to walk. When five of them began to walk, then the order broke. Everyone that had a deaf person, that had a dumb person, they thought I had power. But you know what? It was a spoken word. He had to confirm his word. He had to confirm it. I was doing well in the oil industry. He said, "Go to the nation. I've come to set you free so that where I am, there also will my servant." He will not confirm what you think, what you like. He will confirm his word with signs and with wonders.
if you are looking for the miracle ministry, signs and wonders, the first thing to ask yourself, are you following what he told you? Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, this woman I married, after 2 years of marriage, posting came out. They posted me to Lagos. Are you with me? I stayed in Lagos for 7 years. Posted me to Gombe. I was there for 4 years. That's how many years? I was away from home for 11 years. In fact, one day I came home for weekend. My son saw me and said, "Uncle, welcome." How many women will stay? Every affection was denied. Every kind of thing. We were on national assignment, offshore, calculating volume of throw vessels. Oh, you will not understand. How many women will stay there? Even if what? My son didn't know me again. You know why she stayed? It came from the mouth of God. Because after more than 10 years of marriage, you can't see your husband. And when they find out that you will not chase any other woman, they'll say, "Okay, we'll go see now." They will ensure that you are posted to a place where you will not see your wife, so that you will think of holding breast. So such were the things we suffered because we were pastors. But yet, you know why we survived? Satan felt that this would be the end of him. But you see, it was the preceding word that created the platform. And there was grace. The grace of God began to shine so powerfully. Most of the iconic revelations I got them offshore. By the time I came back, I had grown in the spirit. By the time I came back, my wife had become a dry fasting machine. What was designed to break our family became a platform for us to mount up with wings like eagles. The things that kill other people will make you fly if God spoke it. No wonder when I was complaining, I said, "God, I want a fair woman that is tall, that has open teeth, that you..." God said, "This the only one you need. This one I'm giving you is the only one you need on my shelf." It took me 10 years to know why God said that. Because a situation came. There were situations that would have broken the arrangement. The reason why he tarried was because he proceeded from the mouth of God. If it is God that uttered it, when men are cast down, you will be saying that there is a lifting up. It's not about competition. The question is, what has the Lord said? When Ghana opened, then the United Kingdom opened. Just when COVID started, then I got an invitation. Every other time I applied for UK, was a no. Until God spoke about, then I went. The last time I applied that they denied me, everything was complete. And they said no. Then the time I went that they gave me, everything was scattered. And they gave me. That's how I entered the UK. For 4 days. That message went all over Europe. Not because I'm a great preacher, but because God said, don't look for connection to take you anywhere. Just see, man, if it's man, if it's a chimpanzee, it's a different case. But if it is man, he spoke it. And I entered the United Kingdom for 4 days. Those 4 days were an eye opener. Those 4 days, I knew what it means when God sends a man. And in 4 days' time, the United Kingdom was open, even to Scotland. When I was on the plane coming back, British Airways, I spoke in tongues and I didn't know when it was time to land. And I was there with Sons of the Bondwoman. They were wondering how I got money to pay for business class. Because it's only them that travel it. Having looted the treasury of our country, the Lord will arise on our behalf. And the treasures of our land that have been taken, He will demand for them. It happened because He spoke. And whatever God had spoken must come to pass. I would like us to pray. Because you need to reach back to your diary. Go back and check. What did the immortal speak about you? And remember that what God calls living is living the precepts of the proceeding word of God. Please help me pray to your neighbor. Your life in the spirit is a story that God is telling from heaven. Your life in the spirit is a story. It's a story that God is telling from heaven. Every time you walk in the spirit, God is talking to a generation. A living epistle is speaking. But whenever you walk in the flesh, the story ends. May there be no punctuation in the story that God is telling through your vessel. In the day of David, his life revealed the compatibility between worship and warfare. That if warfare will prosper, then worship must also prosper. What is the story of your life? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Can we pray? Can we pray together? Can we pray? The next 14 minutes is for prayer. Because you go back to your diary. You go back to the things that God spoke to you about before you got married. Many of you married and you settled. Oh, you are supposed to refire, not retire. God is about to bring to your remembrance the things that He has been emphasizing over your life. Heaven and earth will fail, but not one jot of the counsel of God will fall to the ground without being accomplished. For God is not a man that He should lie. He never lied to our ancestors. He will not lie to you. From among them shall come the voice of thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will glorify them, and they shall not be small. I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. For therefore shall the redeemed of the Lord return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall proclaim gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Silent amos ahimana, ikaile mose kabaluma. Shane kose la mama ye la bo. Shane lo braske la. Ika me la bo mene. Shane lo ye so se na bo. Igo mene se la mana gaye to. Yale. Yale
Into a multitude, and I began to ask the Lord, what means this? And he said, the time has come that they will take your voice to different aspects of the body of Christ in this country. The season of your traveling ministry is opening, and he will take you from place to place on a race horse, so that your voice can be heard in the body. That's what I hear. That's what I see. I will not press it beyond that point.